Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning, and a welcome to those who are joining us online. I'm going to hand over to Kath for some intimations.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially to any newcomers or visitors. And if you are a visitor, you might like to sign the visitor's book. The joint service at Limekilns Church. We will be taking part in that service with other local congregations in Limekilns next Sunday at 11 a.m. This is their final event in the celebration of the 200th anniversary of Limekilns Church building. There won't be a service in Kearney Hill or a Zoom presentation on that day. The service will be available as live stream on the Limekilns YouTube channel. Kirk Session. We meet for ordinary business on Wednesday the 29th of October at 7 p.m. in the church. Christmas Fair, date for your diary. So the Christmas Fair is on Saturday the 1st of November from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please add your name to the list in the vestibule if you can help on the day. The Blythewood Shoebox Appeal. Once again, the church is supporting the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. You can help in a number of ways. So, for example, filling a shoebox with items from the checklist. There are also filler ideas on the Blythewood Care's website. Giving items from the list, which the church will use to fill shoeboxes, making a donation of money towards transport costs, providing empty shoeboxes. And please bring your donation to church from now until the 2nd of November. And finally, let's have a look at the order of service.
Not sure what's happening there. Oh. Just to keep me awake, I think. Maybe one other thing to say in terms of next Sunday, the clocks change. Which is maybe not quite so urgent for us because we're used to a 11:30 service, but trying to explain to people in Limekilns that it's not just going to be 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock is going to feel like 12 o'clock. So that's next week. And there is a buffet lunch following the service. So if you want to stay and have some eats, then, well, you're welcome to, you're invited to stay and have some eats. Not just if you feel like it, you are invited. Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 111, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we present before you. Use our gifts in the work of your church and to your glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Rosemary is going to be leading us in our worship.
Let us pray. God, who is always near, you invite us to draw close, to listen to your word, to wrestle with your truth, and to rest in your love. You are our help and our hope, our keeper and our guide. In this time of worship, write your ways on our hearts and shape us by your Spirit. Creator of all, sustainer of all, Saviour of all. Your glory and majesty are beyond our understanding, perfect in power, in love and unity. Your love enfolds us as a gentle breeze, yet our faithfulness, like the flowers of the field, can wither and fall. We know your word endures forever. Saviour of all, sustainer of all, creator of all, we bless your holy name. For the love you have shown us as sometimes reluctant disciples, your patience in being with us when we decide to go our own way. Merciful God, we admit that we often give up too quickly. We don't always prioritise prayer, and we lose heart when justice feels far off or too disconnected. Forgive us when we hear your word and choose not to live it out. When we rely on our own strength, seeking solutions to our own problems and forget to look to you. As we bring to you now, in this silence, our own personal thoughts and confession. Eternal Father, write your grace on our hearts again and renew us in the joy of following you as we join together now in saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Open around the desk. I could hear somebody's voice through the speaker, and my right. If you go to silence all, because you're administering it, so it should. Well, maybe we better let George do that, because I was going to say we could sing, but of course we need George to be paying attention to the screens as well. So I'm not going to ask him to do two jobs at the same time. It may be the phone. Okie dokie. The joys of technology. Absolutely. So. Right, we're ready to roll. So why don't we sing? Well, we are going to sing Father God, I Wonder. Yeah. So, this week, Karen was saying to me, in fact, maybe even yesterday, now this is to prove that we do actually speak, because down in Limekilns, I got to the end of this bit and said, I haven't a clue who's reading today, and Karen stood up to the laughter of an entire congregation. So Karen was saying, it's really quiet. And I thought, well, yes, it probably is, because this is the middle weekend of the school holiday. So those who are caught up with school holidays, if you're away for the first week, you're just coming home. If you're away for the second week, you're just on your way. And if you're lucky enough to have the whole fortnight, well, you're no here at all. I dreamed of a time when we had children at school that there would be this magical day when we would not need to go on holiday at school holiday time, because we wouldn't have the pressures of children having to be at school. Strangely, it didn't turn out like that, because what I've discovered is that family life still goes on, and also church life seems to be, broadly speaking, arranged round things like school terms. So, well, this year we're not away in October, just been too many things happening round about now. But we often did go on holiday, and this was a time where we would go to places like the Canary Islands. And like lots and lots of folk, the comment is, get a bit of sunshine before the winter comes in. And that was the idea behind it. Now, I didn't notice this on the way out to the airport, but certainly on the way back from the airport, having spent a week or a fortnight in a place that is hot and dry, I was struck by how green the country is here. Now, many of us have come back from somewhere with a hot, dry climate, and the first thing you really see is that this country is green. And you suddenly appreciate the rain. Now, you may not have done that this morning, because this is probably one of the colder days that we've had for a few weeks. But I'm talking about that because we're going to look at a passage, well, a very short passage from the Old Testament, where Isaiah talks about people, us, humanity, as being like grass, like the flowers of the field. And you need to think of somewhere that is hot and dry. Somewhere, yes, like the Canary Islands, if you've been there, where you can see that there's kind of withered dry grass, and you know, a sprinkle of rain and it'll sprout up, but it'll be green for a moment because the warm winds and the heat of the sun, and it just disappears. Something like the 23rd Psalm is much more vivid in a Middle Eastern setting than the British countryside. We have green pastures most of the time. In places where there is very little or very seasonal rain, the grass and the flowers of the field flourish briefly. The sun and the hot, dry wind quickly turns what is green pasture to what is brown and dry and dead. That short passage in Isaiah that we're going to read describes humanity as being like the grass and the flowers of the field. That passage is in turn quoted by Peter when we turn to our New Testament reading. It's in the passage we're going to read from that first letter. Both Isaiah and Peter are using this illustration to remind us that what is of God is eternal. Human pride may tempt us to believe that we as individuals or humanity as a whole are great in our own right. But we are like the grass and the flowers of the field. Perhaps we need to read these words much more in this age than those who listened to Isaiah or read Peter's words. Human pride is ephemeral as the grass and flowers of the field. What is of God is eternal. And as God's people, we are called to be a holy people. We are to have a holiness that is eternal, but it is eternal because it is of God. It is not of us. It is God working within us. It is God's purpose that we should be holy because he is holy. So we're going to read now a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40 and a passage from 1 Peter, and Caroline is going to read for us.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And the New Testament reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. It's entitled, "Be Holy." Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Hymn number 550, "As the Deer Pants for the Water."
Oh,
I don't know if you remember, but on a news item some weeks ago, there was an overheard conversation between the Russian and Chinese presidents at a military parade to mark the Japanese surrender in 1945. A microphone picked up a discussion as to whether modern medicine, including transplants, could extend life. There was a mention between these two presidents that they might be able to live to 150. And the speculation that even death itself might be postponed indefinitely. Some commentators regarded this as mere musing on a conjecture. Other commentators noted that they were not the first powerful leaders who sought to extend their power or seek some kind of immortality. We all know the saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We might regard such leaders as the perfect example of a kind of absolute power corrupting their intellect. But power can also corrupt the corporate mind of a society. How often do we, as one of the richer societies in this world, believe that we, humanity, are in control? What we call the power of nature is and always has been shocking in the sense of surprising us. But this doesn't always happen in a good way. In our society, the shock, the surprise, is often we are not in control. At times we witness the power of nature as a reminder that humanity is like the grass and the flowers of the field. We hear things being called an act of God. Or when something overwhelming takes place in the world of nature, it can sometimes be described as being of biblical proportions. And yet, as a society, we very quickly return to the kind of belief that says we are in control, and if things are out of control, someone must be to blame. I don't know how many times I have seen, probably in social media, but also in letters in the newspaper, that the council haven't been out there clearing and gritting the roads properly in the winter. And I think Rob knows that all too well. Rather than saying, this is winter, weather conditions can be beyond our control, and maybe we should think about how we behave. But no, we, through our wealth as a society, have come to believe that we are in control. Going back to those who are leaders, in ancient times, many leaders were either believed to be or believed themselves to be gods. The Roman emperors, many of them, were granted some kind of divinity. In recent times, we have certainly heard leaders speak as though they were God, as if their words were absolute in terms of what they declare to be true and should be obeyed without contention. In the Old Testament, the prophets, those who spoke the word of God, called leaders to account and reminded the people that they were only God's people through obedience. In other words, whether it be the leader of the people or the people themselves, they had the huge honor of being servants of God, but their holiness could only be found in being true to the holiness of God, and that is a truth that remains. Isaiah's words All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord, the word of our God, endures forever. Peter quotes these words from Isaiah in his letter to the scattered Christian communities in that area that we know as Turkey. Here he talks of Christians as children and God as Father. And we recognize that his words echo the words of Jesus, because that is how Jesus described God to us. And already today we have prayed saying, Our Father. When Jesus presented the parable of the prodigal son, he presents a father so ready to forgive. In fact, it's not the parable of the prodigal son at all. It is a parable about the Father. This Father who forgives what is unforgivable, who accepts the unacceptable son. Those who were listening to Jesus knew, and we know, that in that parable, the Father is God. Jesus very clearly describes God as a loving Father. The New Testament tells us in a number of places, not just about the love of God, but that God is love. However, there is always the temptation to dilute the absolute love of God by thinking of this as, I was trying to find some way of putting this, that kind of love is blind. Well, God's love is not blind. God's love is the bright light that shines into every dark corner, whether it be our lives or the life of the world. This God of love is actually far worse than any cold, calculating judge ready to convict. I'm sure I've told the story before, but I have a memory of childhood where the very worst thing that could happen to me in terms of me having done something wrong was not punishment. It was my parents. And my parents would say, and it usually included my full name, I don't know about you, but my full name was an indicator that I was in real trouble, and it was usually Norman Miller Grant. I am really disappointed. That struck home far harder than any punishment they could have given me, because I had disappointed those who love me. The punishment coming from someone who loves us is far worse than any kind of punishment that meets the crime, because love goes to the heart. When we truly confess and seek forgiveness from the one who forgives us, it is a moment of utter vulnerability, because true confession, to have true forgiveness, means that we've got to be entirely honest about ourselves. And of course, the measure of God's love is Jesus in his utter vulnerability on the cross. This is not a God who does not understand our vulnerability. The cost of our salvation is Jesus, and Jesus is God's word of love. There is no limit to God's love, nor a limit to the number of times he forgives. But we must never think that this is an acceptance of human sin, that somehow we can do things and of course God will forgive, that somehow God will simply accept that we are weak and because of that not call us to account. We are under the judgment of the God of love. God does not lower his expectation of us. Rather, he raises our expectations of ourselves. Be holy because I am holy. God is not my pal who puts up with me because that's just the way I am. God, the Father Almighty, creator of all that is, on earth and in heaven, calls upon us to be holy. Jesus, the living Word of God, is our strength and hope. A strength and hope that is eternal. The Holy Spirit is the only limit as to who and what we can be. Peter writes, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Be holy because I am holy. Or in the words of Matt Redman, who we know better as a songwriter rather than a writer of prose, Matt Redman says, as we begin to face up to the holiness of God, our lives resound with that very same anthem, here and now upon the earth. Words from the Bible, words from God. Be holy because I am holy. Amen. We sing now hymn 562, Through the Love of God our Saviour. Thinking about the world around us and praying for others, Rosemary is going to lead us again.
Let us join together in prayer for other people. God of justice and kindness, we bring before you those who cry out, the weary, the silenced, the wronged. Give them courage to keep going and raise up voices to speak out with them. We pray for leaders and decision makers that they would all always resist easy answers and seek truth with patience and humility. Enable them to be the champion to the poor, to be the voice of the voiceless and to act on behalf of the most vulnerable. We pray for those on journeys, those moving towards safety, those starting something new, those carrying hidden burdens. Keep their feet steady and light their path as you walk with them. We pray for our world, especially the sites of war and greed for power, land and environmental resources. We bring all the peoples of the Middle East to your care and sustenance, and we continue to pray for peace and justice for Ukraine. May the leaders of the world treat everyone fairly, with no discrimination due to race, creed, belief or gender. We pray for strength and hope across the world and for all who are persecuted for their faith. We cannot help all in the world who are suffering at this time, but we give thanks for all the charities and organisations who can be at the point of disaster, ready with practical help and aid whenever and wherever they may be needed. Father God, let compassion rise higher than division. Let kindness speak louder than hatred. And let hope shine brighter than despair. Comfort those who are grieving. Heal those who are sick. And provide for those who are struggling. Surround the lonely with your presence and give strength to the weary. May your grace be a source of hope for all who are burdened. We pray for your church, Father God. We pray that we may keep living out your teaching and share your word with love and with courage. We thank you, Eternal Father, for the gift of one another within our own church and wider community. For friendship, for families and neighbours who make this place our home. Bless our communities with peace, our hearts with compassion, and our hands with generosity, as we bring to you in a moment of quietness all who we are holding close in our hearts and minds this morning. Gracious God, we know that through your love, all will be well, and we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Hymn number 468, Son of God, Eternal Saviour.
Oh,
as God's holy people, holy because of his presence and holiness within. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.